again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup, and Northampton 3! Yeah! Northampton
have got it!
Hello, welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me, the podcast about Northampton Town Football Club. I'm Charles Commons, and this week we're apparay. That doesn't work very well. To be back to winning ways. If you're new to us, welcome. For the next hour, you can expect lots of Cobblers related chat, including men's and women's team news, and a bit of fun as well. Somebody's got some crisps.
Someone unwrapping a Christmas present.
Who's having,
belated Christmas present?
I forgot to open my... I've got an Aero orange. I forgot to open it before.
Aero.
I forgot to open it before we press record, and it's just ruined everything.
Terrible. I've got a picnic.
Nice! What an entire picnic!
What, like a Plowman's?
Retro chocolate bar.
It's got some Vollevance and some
loaf of bread. What do you think?
Loaf of bread,
pork pie, cheese, pork pies, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, nice. Little mini sausages.
Oh,
who
mini
would
sausages.
You most like to go on a picnic with out of our current squad?
Oh,
obviously we know mine.
Current squad.
Well, I think little Johnny Maxted.
Yes, that's a great shot.
I like.
He'd bring a good. Spread, I think.
I feel like if I was in danger from local swans, he'd be the man to headbutt a swan for me.
Swans are the queen's animals, though. It'd be in a lot of trouble for that.
He'd do it on the slide. He's only little. He'd get away with it.
Yeah, he'd get away with it. Be fine. Yeah,
not actually that little, though, is he?
What would you rather? 100 swan-sized little Johnny Maxteds or one little Johnny Maxted-sized swan?
Oh, hundreds. I'd want
I wouldn't want a giant swan. They're terrifying.
He is the size of a swan, pretty much. So we're not far off that.
Throwback. Do you remember when Soccer AM, Helen Chamberlain, put a swan in her car because it was stranded on the side of the motorway injured and they got the RSPCA to rescue it? Do you remember that?
I don't remember that. But
yeah, Soccer AM. Well, what a legendary show.
Well done to House Bells.
Yeah, she's basically a zookeeper, isn't she? She's amazing. No, she is. She has like a whole farm.
Anyway, if you're new around here, then...
Was it nil-nil again?
And if you're not new around here and you enjoy the crazy rubbish that we spout and would like to help us keep bringing you weekly Cobblers content, you can join the fan club on Patreon, where you'll get access to our community forums on Slack, extra content, and you'll be helping us in sponsoring NTFC women's player Abby Bruin as well. We're always striving to improve what we do and looking at ways to support the football team as well. You can help us to do that by just paying £2 a month. That's it. At patreon.com/cobblers to me. As you've already heard, full complement of podders this week as Danny Batman Brothers. I'm just going to wait for Neil to fill in Jezzy's nickname in the middle of this.
I didn't have enough time. You caught me in the act. You caught me right in the act, Charles.
Chezzy Orange Kebab Shop Coleman.
More news on that later.
And Neil turned up early for once, but couldn't get his microphone to work. Edgerton Scott. Welcome all. Now, Chezzy, I'm going to start with you. I understand you've found yourself a fan.
Yeah, this was really random. Listener, don't know who you are, don't know what your name is, but hello to you. Said, hello, Jeffy, pass the pod. And I was like, thanks. Have no idea who you are, but you sounded very merry and it was great.
Oh. Wait, was this on the motorway?
Obviously not. No, this was literally outside the ground.
Oh, right.
Yeah, about 2 o'clock. So it was good fun, actually. Yeah, okay. I was like, oh, that's weird, but it was great.
Do you like
that? They should send something into Neil's postbag to say that was me.
Yeah, yes. Please do. We'd love to say hello because I have absolutely no idea who you are, but it was really lovely that someone said hello. So hello.
Yeah, podcast@cobblers2me.com. Send us. Let us know who it is. Hello.
What does pass the pod mean, by the way?
I think it's from the world famous Peter Crouch podcast. If he says pass the pod, you pass it round, see how many countries it can get to.
Right.
But I think we're probably limited to the UK, but we'll strive for more.
We are not limited to the UK.
Australia.
I mean in terms of people that generally tend to attend on a match day.
I was going to say because we've got Emin in Turkey. We've got listeners in America. We've got listeners in
Thailand,
yes.
Singapore,
yeah.
Singapore cobbler.
Norway as well. All over
Australia.
The world.
Aussies, we've got the Aussies.
We have got some Aussies, yeah.
Talking, and we should probably touch on Australia because there's...
Don't touch Australia. You know what happened last time, Neil.
There's been some... It's like... there's been some big soap opera-related news.
No, don't do it to me.
No.
No, it's not true.
I won't have it. Really
it seems like everybody no longer does need the neighbours.
No.
I saw this earlier, and I was of the thought that this was just Channel 5 shutting it down.
No.
And not. Is it completely finishing Neighbours?
Well, I don't know. I think you're probably right. I think it will always be a staple over in the...
It'll just lose a lot of funding, right?
Yeah. Because it said they were going to go out with a bang.
Oh.
I know what that means. Well.
Like when Lou Carpenter's bar blew up, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Lou's. Lou's
place. When Madge died.
Oh,
or when Harold disappeared and fell into the sea and then arrived.
Did he walk?
Harold! <I'm back.
laughs> He's completely lost his memory.
They seem to do that on Neighbours, don't they? Because that happened to Toadie's wife. Didn't she fall off a cliff?
Yes. Let's bring it back.
I bet John Brady must like Neighbours, right?
Oh, that's a question. Oh, that's...
Question for John. Who's your favourite Neighbours
character? Home and Away or Neighbours? That's the question.
Well, Home and Away had
both of them, surely.
Close what about Round the Twist? Round the Twist was
awesome. Oh, now, there you go. Love it. Last week, we asked for a striker on the pod. Well, John Brady only went out and got us one, didn't he?
Oh. Yeah. What a lovely man he is as well, Charles. I watched his post-match interview. He seems like a really good, really decent bloke, really good guy, and he feels like he's going to fight for the cause, and I like that.
He does. Louis Apparé scored on his debut and caused literal scenes.
Chaos it caused. Utter chaos.
I have a question to throw out there. Not a question, more of an observation. I don't think he actually meant that.
How dare you?
No, I'm not looking for good finish. No, I can't even say good finish because I think it hit him.
Great finish.
Oh, no, I think he twisted his foot around.
I don't know.
I mean, Jeffy, you were right behind it.
I don't think he had a lot of time to think about it.
I don't think he meant it. I think it just hit him.
I kind of agree with Neil. I absolutely will take it, but I think I don't think he even realised what was happening.
He looked surprised.
Yeah, completely, because it came from nowhere.
I can't believe you can be so doubtful about a Northampton Town striker, Neil. what's created this negativity?
but if he's scoring when he doesn't mean to, then that's a good thing, right?
Yeah, he does look great. He looks great. He gets in the right places and he's got energy and he's strong, really strong. He doesn't just fall over, funnily enough.
He showed, I think it was the second half, he had another chance. There was a bit of a scramble, wasn't there? And he had maybe the second bite of the cherry. Yeah. I thought the way that he actually controlled the ball and moved it from his left foot over to his right to then have the shot. So he took the ball away from the defender to be able to open it up to have the shot. Now, okay, it was saved because it was straight at the keeper, but just showed that little bit of extra, because I think any other striker, especially any strikers that we've got at the moment prior to this transfer window closing, would have just tried to hit that first time and it would have been blocked by the defender. So that little bit of nous just showed a little bit something different for me.
You know,
I went, oh, that looks good.
What as well I noticed about him, he does a lot of work, but he does a lot of work in the right way. Like he runs, he doesn't just peg it around with like a headless chicken. He kind of runs to the right places and uses his energy in the right way. And he's got intent about everything he does. And I really enjoyed it. I enjoy him as a entity.
Sam Hoskins got a competition?
Yeah, well, Sam's, I think
he's going to be gone already. You've written him off.
I've written him off, yeah.
Speaking of Sam, Danny, it was his birthday earlier in the week. Now's your opportunity.
Yeah.
To wish him a happy birthday, if you'd like to.
Happy birthday.
Because he'll definitely be listening.
I understand you wrote him a poem.
Did I?
Well, that's what I believed you were doing, yeah.
Happy birthday, Sam. Cool. I hope you have some ham. Put it in the net, or we'll send you to the vet.
Send you to the vet?
We know you like a flick.
Oh, hello.
Oh, can I lick your...
Neil's back.
Hello.
It's a family show.
Oh, dear. That was a family. I kept it clean.
He was going to say Chewits.
Yeah. All right, Chewits. Yeah, they're okay, aren't they?
Oh, dear.
First Starburst.
Exceptional. Right, first thing, I think we have to mention the fact that obviously the game against Barrow was an absolute show.
No, Charles, we've moved on from that.
I know, so therefore, bring it back to that. My question is how much of an improvement was Walsall, the win at Walsall, Tuesday night defeat?
I think that it was an improvement. I think if you were listening or watching, it probably didn't seem as significant as when you were there, because what people won't realise is the conditions were pretty atrocious. The wind just didn't allow for any kind of flow to the game whatsoever. And the fact that we managed to
keep it on the floor.
Well, to have an element of control, and also as well to be able to be quite solid in defence, because Roberts kicks went up, they literally just span in the air, and it took so long to regain that control and therefore that momentum. And that was quite difficult, because from the stand we actually couldn't really see that either, but it was only when you got out of the stadium at the end and you realized actually the wind was really quite difficult. And I think it was a sign of us going in the right direction. And I talked about kind of this phase, didn't I, of these games that we needed to improve on. I definitely think this is a recovery period from that terrible run that we had. I don't think we're back to where we should be, but I think that was a solid performance. And I think it was a performance that showed that we have the ability to grind out results, because they really should have been ahead more and more comfortable, but they weren't. But what they were in was control.
I thought it was... There was definitely an element of that, but in the same way that there was against Salford a couple of weeks back, or last week, wasn't it? But I still didn't really see that much of a difference between... Maybe I'm being incredibly unfair, but I didn't feel like we had gone and completely, you know, put the ghosts of Tuesday's defeat to bed, so to speak.
First 25 minutes was brilliant. The first 25 minutes, we didn't allow them to breathe at all. We literally didn't allow them a second on the ball. We were just on them constantly. And you could tell that we were on a mission. It did peter out, and we did lose our way for about 15 minutes in the first half, but it overall was solid. I think that was quite harsh, Charles.
Personally, I thought Walsall were terrible.
I don't think they were as bad as they came across.
They were awful. They passed it around a little bit, but they had nothing in their final third.
No, I totally agree. They didn't have anything in their final third at all, but in terms of their midfield, that was better than a lot of other teams I've seen this season.
Mm.
I think it was very difficult to be any worse than Tuesday, wasn't it, for a start?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think valid point, well made, Danny.
I think if we'd have put like 11 golden retrievers on stilts on the pitch, we would have been better. We would have been better than Tuesday. But you're right, Jeffrey. We came out with a kind of sense of we've got to put this right. Like that first 20, 25 minutes, we were all over them, and we could have probably put it to bed then. But we've let them back into the game a little bit too easily. Probably naturally going to happen away from home. But I think that kind of game is one where you just think, right, it's a step back in the right direction. Let's move on, kind of thing. And it's all going to come down to whether we back it up on Tuesday again now. Because I thought Walsall were pretty poor. They had one little terrier in the middle. I think it was Kinsella, who was just all over the place. Mm. But apart from that, they were woeful, I think, for the most part, in terms of their own intent towards the game. But we got the job done. I mean, Liam Roberts again, a couple of great saves.
Yeah.
Can't like, forget that, really.
There's so much more mobility, though, with that selection. So much more mobility. And
yeah, you don't really know where people are going to play when the list comes out now. You're like, where's everyone going?
But also in terms of that, I know we hate Route 1, but firstly, we didn't play it a lot. But when we did, Apere was absolutely brilliant. He would run after everything. And also he did almost catch out the Walsall keeper several times. And actually, I think if you are going to play that route one kind of stuff, if you're able to pull it off and it has some kind of impact, whether it's a goal or whether it isn't, it's still better than the alternative, which is what we've had for a long time. I do think he has a lot about him. We did look better in midfield, but we didn't have enough in that final third. But I do think that will come. I think that's something that will definitely start to click a little bit more, especially when we get some match fitness into some of these people that we've got on loan. And also Aperi, because he does look very good. I think once he's got some matches behind him, he'll be a lot more solid. And on Saturday's performance, he looks very good already.
I thought Pinnock was a little bit blunted in this formation. I don't know what it was. Moving to the 3-5-2, I think his like creation, the stuff that we need him to do the most, I felt like he was a little bit out of the game a little bit in terms, unless it was a free kick or a corner. So I don't know how we fit that in or how we kind of address that, but he just didn't seem to be in the game that much.
I wonder whether that's maybe in part to do with the fact that he is a targeted man now. Teams are definitely seeing him as the main threat in our side, and rightly so, I think. And therefore, trying to make sure that they're not giving him the space. There were plenty of times when I saw he was being doubled up on by the Walsall, the right side of their midfield, essentially. I wonder whether that's going to be something that is almost like the reason why and the proof as to why he's a League Two standard player, because of the fact that he's nullified in that way fairly simply. I don't know whether that's maybe being a bit unfair on him. But my big issue with that game was, yes, I'm happy, obviously, to get the win, but I still didn't really see us create much in terms of actual goal threat from open play. And I know John Brady came out, didn't he, after Tuesday's defeat and said about how these stats about our lack of goals from open play hadn't come out prior to Tuesday night. They weren't there on Saturday, for instance, after we'd beaten Salford. And Neil, you didn't like that, did you? You kind of said that that's maybe the first time you felt like he's not kept his composure, maybe?
Did I?
You weren't happy with it on Twitter?
Oh, on Twitter. Yeah, I say a lot of stuff on Twitter, Charles. yeah, I just think it's that sort of thing. And I get it. I think there's an element of defending the players. I'm sure he's aware that it's not good enough. And that I just think he usually speaks sense, and usually I agree with almost everything he says, which is, again, the last time we had a manager like that was Wilder, wasn't it? But I think he was wrong on that one, personally. I think hold your hands up and say, yeah, it's not good enough.
I was just trying to find what Neil said on Twitter, but then I was distracted by his tweet about Haribo.
Oh, yeah.
Saying that the ratios are, and they put too many hearts in there.
They do put too many hearts in there.
I like the hearts.
Well, as it transpires, so does a lot of Twitter.
I think we need to mention subs. It was refreshingly different to...
Epia didn't go on, did he?
No, he didn't. But it was refreshingly different because, I think if he'd have put Danny Rose on, there'd have been uproar. But I do think who was bought on, I wasn't expecting. And also bought a little bit of something different and tried to go for the game more than defend, which was very good. So I think that was a step in the right direction, absolutely.
Yeah, he kind of went oddly attacking, didn't he?
When went rogue, didn't he? Not my JB.
But who came on?
So Lewis came on at half-time, didn't he?
He had to, yeah, absolutely.
For Azamagaza.
Yeah.
So I think, did Hoskins go to wing-back at that point?
Yeah, I think switched Lewis, a little bit, didn't they?
Yeah, which I thought, actually, Lewis, we had a go at him after Tuesday night, I think. But I thought he had a decent game for his 45 minutes.
Having been there, I didn't notice the difference. And I think that's the biggest compliment you can give, is that if you've got a player that's gone off injured at half time and you don't notice the difference, that shows you that the player that's come on has done the job, right?
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
Yep.
Libala came on for Sowerby. That was one way you're like, all right, calm down, John.
Yeah, it was a little
that's
bit.
That's where I was like, oh, that's different.
And then Kanu came on to dismay Jeffy's dreams of a Koiki goal. By coming on for Koiki. Did he go left wing back after? I can't remember. Or did, no, Mitchell, Pinnock went, didn't he?
Yeah.
The Libala one for Sowerby, did Lewis just not drop back and do what Sowerby was doing?
Yeah, pretty much he did, yeah.
Not that.
Lewis did well.
No, I'm not. It's not
the
questioning
Lewis, the alternative, though, was to just completely shut off shop, which we didn't. Mm. And I mean, kind of, I think the point I'm making is to have not put Rose on, I think, is the right step.
Jeffy just hates Danny Rose.
I just don't think he's good enough to be in this league currently.
He's not. He's not good enough to play at front four, as you're right.
No.
Do we think now there's a fresh, shiny new striker in that Danny Rose is just doing things to his locker and stuff like that? He seems like the type of person who'd just go in.
Oh, he's definitely a mischief maker, isn't he?
Yeah. Or like, he'll just tie his boot laces together before he runs out.
Yeah. I do wonder how players must feel. Like, I mean, because, you know, Danny Rose will know that his place in the side has been under, you know, threat, and that he's been, you know, being judged essentially by, you know, the fans and the media and everything connected and everyone connected to the Cobblers for ages now, because essentially he doesn't really offer us anything but an outlet and the chance to win a free kick. And I mean, some managers will probably turn around and go, well, that's a great attribute to have in the side. And the problem is that as much as we turn around and say things like, oh, isn't it good when you have somebody like when Charlie Good, for example, is doing it and he's, you know, shithousing to win free kicks and stuff. And it's funny and we enjoy that. But I don't know why, but Danny Rose doing it, because that's all he ever does or seems to do, it's just annoying.
It's a level of competency, isn't it? Because Charlie Good was very competent as a defender. Currently, Danny Rose is not competent as a striker and unable.
Yeah, if he was banging the goals in, if he was getting if he was in double figures, I probably wouldn't care so much about him throwing himself to the ground. But because that is literally all he has to offer at the moment and has done for some time, then that's it. But I'd be interested to know how, as a player, that you maybe would feel about the fact that, okay, somebody has definitely come in to replace me and to take my place in the lineup. Well, that's it, isn't it? I mean, you look at it and you just sort of go, Danny Rose must be looking at that and going, will I ever get a game here again? And I suppose he's got one of two directions he can go. He can either get his head down and really try and improve and win back his place, or he can basically turn around and say, well, I'm done here and look for a move elsewhere.
But I don't think we should detract from the performance and go on kind of a Danny Rose tangent as such, because I do...
You started it!
Well, I did, but I'm
Jeffy,
sorry.
Why do you hate Danny Rose so much, Jeffy? Every week. Wait till I open for him next summer. Special guest.
But no, it's good. Fans were very good, by the way. Can we just point out we have more fans than the Walsall fans? Fact, regardless of what they say about the attendance.
It sounded like a home game.
It was crazy. To be fair, and God bless their souls, because we've been here and done this. They've got terrible problems with the board. They're singing sack the board after about half an hour and booing left, right and centre. So there's obviously clearly huge problems going on for Walsall, not just on the pitch, but off the pitch. And I don't think anyone particularly likes any football club going through that, regardless of whether you're playing them or not. But we absolutely bossed that, and our fans from about 70 minutes on carried the team over that line. Because
how did you compete with a sole Walsall fan who was just screaming at the top of his lungs, "Come on, Walsall!" for the last 15 minutes? I mean, that must have been intimidating for the away fans.
Terribly, yeah.
Intimidating for me in my car.
you were sat in the car, weren't you, getting odd looks from passers by?
Yeah, sit in the car to listen to it.
Why was that? No radio in the house?
No, the radio in the house is broken, and I'd just driven back from Milton Keynes.
So that's I'll
just sit in the car for the most of the second half, which was nice.
Oh, there you go. Patreon.com/cobblers to me. Let's get Neil a new radio.
Yeah, I literally froze that second half, so it was so cold. It was colder than Swindon when I couldn't feel my feet for 24 hours. It was so, so cold.
How long did it take for you to feel your feet after this one?
I still can't feel them.
Oh.
I'm just walking around like I've got like duck feet on.
Well, have you named them? You like naming ducks.
Yeah, I do like naming my ducks.
Oh dear, brilliant. I noticed, Danny, that you've put in here that Walsall and former Cobblers, well, no, not manager, is he? Walsall's manager and former Cobblers player Matt Taylor has stated that Weir, as in Walsall, are not in a relegation battle.
Yeah. He's tempting fate, isn't he? Considering they're, what are they, 7 points clear of Oldham?
19th and Oldham. Now after that.
No, they're 21st.
Were they 21st now? Yeah. Were they 19th beforehand?
Yeah. So they're 7 points behind, in front of Oldham, but Oldham have got a game in hand.
And didn't Oldham win in spectacular style as well?
They did. Yeah. Scunthorpe, yeah.
They did.
Yeah. And Scunthorpe play Walsall on Tuesday.
Big game.
I mean, it was interesting, wasn't it? Because we had, was it Tom, Danny, on the preview show on Friday? And he said that it was almost like they were just waiting for that game on Tuesday. Because it was almost like they were expecting to lose this game against us. But the one that they can't afford to lose is the game against Scunthorpe on Tuesday.
It's effectively a six-pointer, isn't it, for them?
Danny's the man about six-pointers.
Technically, I don't think it is because Scunthorpe are so far behind them. But it will reel them in if they lose it. And I can't see Taylor lasting any longer than Tuesday if they lose that.
Bless the thing him. Is, who are they going to bring in if the board are by all intents?
Well, there's a certain firefighting manager out there looking for a bit of work.
Yeah, that's a valid point. Well made.
Want to return to the Midlands,
and he's and you know he wouldn't even have to get rid of Ash Taylor to sort it out. He's already gone.
Already gone.
I'm actually quite disappointed about that because I was so looking forward to it. It would have just been even more fun.
A bit of Ash Taylor bashing from the stands. Is that what you're thinking?
It just would have been so much fun.
Well, since he's left, they've lost six in a row. So.
Yeah, it's true.
Maybe they're getting back.
Well, it's seven in a row now, isn't it?
No, it's six.
No, that was their sixth. Yeah.
Oh, was it their sixth? Yeah. Okay.
There you go. Right. Okay. Well, shall we take a very quick break? And when we come back, we'll dip into the postbag, shall we?
Dip it.
Support the podcast on Patreon by joining the It's All Cobblers to Me fan club. Every month, you'll receive access to exclusive bonus content, such as our Meet the Staff series, hear our player interviews before anyone else, and be invited to regular meetups. By joining the fan club, you'll be helping us to continue our sponsorship of NTFC women's player Abby Bruin and enable us to keep the podcast and all our other content going to the high standards you expect. To join the fan club, go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant, or just some fun, at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in.
Welcome back. It's postbag time. Neil.
Hello.
There he is. just thought I'd wake you up, mate, to be honest. It's postbag time.
Delve into the bag.
We didn't have anything last week. And
when you cross the Neil, I get the same feeling as I get when Vic and Bob use the pass on to George Dawes in Shooting Stars. It's like something hilarious is about to happen.
I thought you were going to say when Stelling passes to Kamara.
It's it, Jeff.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Right, we have. Yeah, we've got a, I wouldn't say a bulging post bag, but I would say a.
It
has been entered. first entry from Jonty.
Go on, Jonty.
Jonty says, so this I believe was after the Barrow game. No plan B. Do we agree that the main problem against Barrow was team management? I'm a big Brady fan, and I understand he is on a learning curve, but he let us all down against Barrow. They had a game plan, and it worked. It was obvious 10 minutes in that we needed to change formation and players. Subs were too late in the game and replaced the wrong players, therefore they were ineffective. When he gets the plan right, we play well. When he gets it wrong, he is too stubborn to change it. Let's hope that he gets the game plan right on Saturday. Well, fun fact, Jonty, he did. and he's brave enough to drop Hoskins and Lewis. One of them he did. With a bit of luck, let's hope that's the last time we see Danny Rose in a Town shirt. So there you go, Jeffy, another one for the We Hate Danny Rose Club.
You lot are making me out like a right villain. Chill out.
Well, you know,
it's not just me.
We just call him what we heard. Jonty then carries on. It's never easy being a Cobblers fan, but tonight was reminiscent of Oxford City in the Cup, and that was the start of Sir Keith's downfall. I honestly believe we will do well to be in playoff contention, playoff position come 1st of March, unless Brady can bring about a plan B or even C in games like the one against Barrow. Fair play to Barrow, a poor team, but stuck to their game plan and deserved their 3 points. Let's hope we can start to play with two up front at home against the weaker teams, and the combination of our new strikers can help us get some points on the board. Frustrated, and angry sum up my mood.
I don't think Oxford City or Barrow, sorry, was anywhere near that Oxford City performance. I'm just saying.
I think it was close.
I don't think. The only difference was Oxford City were non-league, I guess.
Yeah, I mean Barrow still are. Essentially, more or less in orbit name.
I imagine maybe we could call out to Jonty and after the Walsall victory. Get back in touch. Let us know. How are you feeling?
How are you feeling?
Well, we've got another game maybe on Tuesday night, so it could all change again before we
meet. Oh, can you imagine?
Just give us a weekly update, Jonty. How are you feeling?
We want your Jonty's emotional update, is it?
Yes, that can be the opener of the bag.
Jonty might just represent all the feelings of Cobblers fans as we move through the season. Just every week, just telling us how we all feel.
What did you make of this two up top at home thing? Is that something you'd like to see? Yeah.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I do agree. You can't. I just think I don't understand. You have a formation. You have your game plan. It's what you know. At home against a team that are lower half of League Two when we're supposedly going for promotion. I just don't think it quite sends out the right message. Starting a lone striker, and also against Barrow, he was so isolated.
He was.
Yeah, absolutely. Ross Spokes got in touch with a nice question. I saw.
Go on, Ross.
What players did you love when they played for us, but they really annoy you when they return and play against us? I think this was on the back of Jason Taylor and his performance against us on Tuesday for Barrow. Mm. Anyone in particular that stands out for you, Danny?
Derek Asamoah is the first one that comes to mind.
How many times did he come back against us?
A few.
He played against us a few times, I think.
Did he? Okay.
Yeah, I seem to remember him falling over a lot and just being a pest.
A pest.
But loved him when he was here, but when he was against us, yeah.
There's no one in my mind that really stands out.
It's not that many. I'm trying to think. Most of the ones that leave because they're crap.
Yeah, and the ones
that been crap.
The ones that leave because they're good go on to play in a higher division and we don't ever see them again, do we? 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. Danny Jackman's always annoying just because the way he left.
Yeah. Who was... amazing. Danny Jackman left claiming he was injured, didn't he? And then off he popped.
He said he was injured and came into the players' lounge in that game saying he was injured, lied to our faces, literally. And then, not the players' lounge, the car's bar.
Yeah.
And then next day is off. Shocking.
Shocking behaviour.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone else who's been really annoying against this.
No.
Because some people, like the likes of Woody, just did it for all for show, didn't he? And did a bit of pantomime with it.
Yeah.
I've got a list of all the Cobblers players ever in front of me. So I'm just scrolling through it, seeing if there's anyone who's...
Scroll away.
Can we reverse that question? Who did we literally
who did
not
we hate?
Like
yeah.
And then really wonderful when it came back? Kevin Van Veen. Yeah.
Nicky Adams, I think, was one. that used to really annoy me because he was pretty good and he used to be that like niggly player that you just used to hate. But once he joined us.
And then he signed for us. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Carl Heggs, maybe?
Yeah.
Before, you know, when he played for Swansea and before that. And then he signs for us and I will never forget that video that does its rounds on social media every now and again. Was it against Burnley? Where he just proper kicks out at the opposition player at Sixfields.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. 90s football was amazing.
Paul McGregor.
Oh, yes.
Did
you love him when he was here, though? That's the question.
I hated him when he was here and hated him even more when he left.
Greg Wilde. Slip that one in.
Lovely. Oh, slip it in. Neil. Oh,
hello.
Any more?
Yes, like I said, the bag is mildly full. I've got Malcolm Butler, who says he listened to last week's pod on the way to work. Nothing in my bag. Well, nothing in Neil's bag. Shocking. I'm sure with a run of Saturday, Tuesday games coming up, there'll be plenty to talk about. But just in case, next week sees the first anniversary of the departure of Keith Curl. What are your thoughts on the last 12 months? Do you think the club has progressed or are we still playing catch-up from the car crash of a season that was 2021?
We've massive progression, I think, in terms of
we've got relegated, but apart from
No. I did it at that point!
It is a kind of progression.
The wrong way.
Yeah.
Two steps forward.
My point was we've made massive progression in terms of the direction for recruitment and for making sure that what we do next is sustainable. And the idea that we've got a coaching team that are kind of progressive as moving through the club, I think that's very important. I think we lacked any kind of planning going into League One, partly because I don't think we expected to be there. And also in terms of long-term, because I don't think even with the best will in the world, Keith Curl was ever going to be long term, because that style of football was never going to suit League One anyway. So I think what we've got now is kind of a window into what the board kind of envisage as we go forward, because I see that this management team, and actually me and Sean said it at the beginning of the season when we were thinking about how this was going to go.
Sean the gnome.
Yeah, more about that later. We said, well, we've got the three people we need, especially when Colin came in. That was a game changer. We've got the management team. It's whether we've got the players that go with that. And the thing about the management team is that even if we didn't have the group of players that we needed, they'd be able to get them where they needed to be. A little bit like Wilder did, because actually, if you look at 2016 players, they were kind of all clubbed together. And then something magical happened out of a group of fairly ordinary players, right?
My view is I think we have progressed on the football side of things, definitely. I don't think we've progressed outside of the football side of things, if that makes sense. So I would like to see more progression off the pitch as well, but on the pitch. And I think you're right, Jeffy, in the respect of there does seem to be a plan. And it feels like, and it's rare to say this, especially with cobblers, but it feels like the football side of things know what they're doing and know where they're trying to get to and do have a plan in place, which is a pretty good thing for once. And I think actually they're a lot calmer about things and, you know, they know what they're doing. Whereas as fans, we're very reactive the minute we lose a game. I mean, like, look at the Barrow performance in that game. All hell was breaking loose, wasn't it?
Yeah. You look at Walsall on Saturday and that's the prime example of a team that don't really know what their identity is or where they're going. It's like it was exactly like us under Curl when we were just first starting. It was just like, we'll sign people. I think their striker's injured already. it's just they don't
Keith's
seem to be
definitely going to rock up there, isn't he?
Oh, go on, Keith.
Come on, Keith.
Matt Nichol has been in touch.
Oh, yeah.
Dear Neil's bulging/empty postbag, delete as appropriate, what is your favourite club song? Whether it be a walkout song or a fan favourite like You'll Never Walk Alone or Fields of Green, what would it be? For me, it has to be Sunshine on Leith.
The Proclaimers' favourite. I do keep up with the Hibernian results, says Matt, and the rendition of Sunshine on Leith after they ended a 114-year dry spell in the Scottish Cup against Rangers in 2016 still sends shivers down my spine whenever I listen to it. So have you got any favourite club songs? Matt does say, P.S., goal songs can get to fuck.
No. Burton, take note.
And who's that? Who's the? Is it Pugwash Fleetwood's one?
Yeah.
I don't think I can beat Sunshine on Leith. Actually, that is a classic.
I quite like Everton. Is it Zedcars?
Zedcars, yeah.
Yeah, like that's that. A traditional. Do Watford use that as well? I think they might.
But I mean, I tell you what, it's the obvious one, isn't it? But You'll Never Walk Alone is when Anfield's properly singing it, that's pretty special, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, to experience that when we're there was pretty special.
Like, yeah, and that was, you know, it wasn't completely sold out or anything, then it wasn't a big game to them or anything, was it? And they were crap as well.
But it's that thing, isn't it, where they are, it's their anthem, isn't it? And every single one of their supporters sings that song. And it's... No Liverpool fan would ever turn around and say that it was cringy or anything like that. Whereas you will find, like, with us, for like, say, the Liquidator, you do see some fans turning around and basically saying it's cringeworthy that we all do it. And, well, you know, there's the whole three claps and a shout of cobblers. Or they say things like, oh, it's a Chelsea song, rather, you know, and we've just taken it from them and yada yada yada. But with Liverpool, you don't have that at all, do you? They, to a man and a woman, they are literally just like, sing it loud and proud, and they don't care. It doesn't matter who they're playing against, in what competition, they will just sing it, and they'll sing it very loud from the heart.
The problem is, as well, I only really know the big teams anthems as such. You got Blue Moon's Man City, isn't it?
Yeah.
Chelsea's is Blue Is the Colour, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Blowing Bubbles, West Ham.
Yeah, I think for me, I would be inclined to maybe suggest that Forever Blowing Bubbles is the biggest one or the best one, simply because there's not another side that I know of in the UK that uses that song.
What about?
Whereas Goodnight Irene from Bristol Rovers. Bristol Rovers, the
enemy. That's a good one.
What's the Leeds is marching on together, isn't it?
Yeah.
Who's the, what is it, Sheffield United, is it, that sing the Wheelbarrow one, or is that Wednesday? Or is it Notts County? It's Notts County, isn't it?
I mean, you've moved away.
Sheffield
from
United sings something else, I can't remember.
Yeah.
Sheffield United is You Fill Up My Senses.
That's the one, yeah. Yeah, there's a great
It's
very rare that I mention Egg Chasers, but Ireland's rugby team sometimes sing a song called Ireland's Call, which is an amazing national anthem-y type thing. It's great, makes me want to be Irish.
Oh, I always
because that national anthem is awful.
Ours is, this is it, isn't it? Our one, when you compare it to any of them. Is just so, it's dull as dishwater.
How long do you think what's it called? I've forgotten the name already. England's song over the summer.
Sweet Caroline.
How long do you think that's going to last? Do you think that's going to be like a historic thing now?
What, Forevermore?
It might be due to the kind of...
Forevermore, yeah.
Yeah, due to the circumstances around that, because it was the first time fans were really back and things like that, so it might stick.
That's technically, though, that's come across from the cricket, hasn't it?
Yeah.
From the T20.
Well, we can steal it.
I'm not saying that, but it's been doing the rounds in terms of following an England sports team for at least maybe 4 or 5 years in the T20. So
T20 is absolutely magical.
I'd like to maybe see... I don't know. It's one of those, isn't it? Like, just very quickly going back to the national anthem side of things, I always feel like
whether it's, and it doesn't matter which sport it is, but particularly in either the particularly in the rugby, like at the moment with the Six Nations, it always feels like the opposition really get up for their anthem. If you look at Scotland versus England on Saturday, like one of the Scotland, and you know, these are big burly, supposed, you know, big burly men that play rugby. One of the guys singing the national anthem was crying. You know, that's how much it meant to him, and that's how emotional it made him. You don't get that with God Save the Queen. It's rubbish.
Can I throw out two more anthems?
Go on. Mm.
Where do you want to throw them?
Well, one, well, Rory Delap, I'll throw this one out. Delilah, Stoke City.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Maybe sure.
That's a strong one.
That's a strong
one. And then my vote for possibly the worst one is Norwich on the Ball City. You heard that one?
Yeah, I think no. I have, yeah.
I'll read you the lyrics.
Okay.
And get ready for this. Kick off, throw it in, have a little scrimmage, keep it low, a splendid rush, bravo, win or die. On the Ball City, never mind the danger.
Oh, marvellous.
The original, it's, that's like a campfire song.
Did that start
on the Ball City!
Did that start
on
when
the
Matthew,
Ball
when,
City!
Did that start when Matthew Rush played for them? There's a splendid rush.
But you think it's going to be in a really strong Norwich accent, which is not actually a Norwich accent. It's a remake of a Somerset accent, which I find quite offensive, really. So it's going to be, I mean...
A very unfun fact, actually, is I have actually sang that on the Ball City live at a Norwich game before.
Ooh. Neil, I expect Delia's guest.
Oh, it's not Delia's guest. No, I went with my friend, who is a Norwich fan, to watch Norwich. It's when MK Donkeys had not long moved and they were still playing at the hockey stadium.
Oh, gosh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, was it the away end?
Blimey, yeah, great that's time. A long work time ago, isn't it?
Mm. And I got caught up in the emotion of the day for my friend. Thought I better sing along here. Oh, I was having a great time. Kick off, throw it in, have a little scrimmage. Come on, chaps, on the Ball City.
Oh, marvellous! Well, you know what? I thought that was a great postbag. Thank you, everybody.
Yes, more of that.
Do send your emails to podcast@cobblerstome.com, or you can go on our website, cobblerstome.com, and click on the Contact Us button. There's a form that you can fill in, and it'll come through in the same way. Thank you. Lovely. Right. NTFC Women are through to the semi-finals of the League Cup after beating Nottingham Forest's development team 2-0 on Sunday. Leah Cadone and Alex Dix with the goals for a much-changed Cobblers side. Hey, Danny. The double is on.
Double. Yes. Isn't there another cup as well? I'm sure they're in some sort of trophy or something.
I think there's the Northants one, isn't there?
Get them all in.
And then the Northants locally one. Like, it's basically their version of the... I've completely forgotten what it's called. What do we used to
win? Mansell Cup.
Mansell Cup. There you go. Is it the equivalent of that, I think, that we're still in?
Beggars can't be choosers.
Absolutely.
Get them all in. Tough conditions today, it looked like. So there's a picture on their Twitter of the coaches doing all the groundsman's work, like getting the forks out and digging up all the pitches. Yeah, it's good to see, isn't it.
Were they at home?
It was at Harpole, yeah, sorry.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, the reason why I asked whether it was at home is I was at Harpole before that, watching Harpole under-12s versus Drayton Grange under-12s, and the conditions were atrocious.
Yeah. So was it your kids' pitch work that work? Was it your kid? Was it
they're your kids? They don't make them just go and sort the pitch out.
Was it their doing that the pitch was so terrible?
No, they don't. They play on. There's two pitches at Harpole. The main one, and then there's the training kids area.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're expecting under sevens to be able to play on full size pitches there, Danny, which I think is a bit of an extreme.
But I mean, the conditions were, I had to walk across that pitch and I was slipping and sliding.
Was it blowing a John Gale?
It was blowing a John Gale, no question about it.
Yeah. No, good win. Semis.
Semis.
Semi-finals. It's Leah Cadone just does not stop scoring, does she?
She didn't even start, did she?
I'm glad. I bet you're glad you didn't put your £20 thing on Leah Cadone just.
No, yeah, I am quite, yeah.
Though, saying that, Abby quite quickly retweeted our pod last week. I think she's well up for that challenge.
I think she is as well. I think she should be up for it.
Get those goals banging in, please, Abby.
Yeah, but you might regret this, Charles.
Ah, it's all tax deductible. It'll be fine.
It's all tax deductible to me.
Do you think... So, am I right in thinking that Abby Bruin is dating a certain BBC presenter?
Mark Webber.
Tim Oglethorpe.
It's, well, hold on.
Bernie Keith.
Do you think... Bernie Keith, she loves rock and roll heaven. That's dangerous territory, isn't it? How often do you think Jake uses the old "all get a brew in" joke?
I'd imagine
daily,
by now.
He strikes me as a man that probably daily uses
it. I think he definitely did it on the first date.
First date, when he found out a surname.
Yeah.
"All get a brew in." I reckon he still does it now.
Yeah, a cup of tea, when he wants a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The question more likely is how often does Abby either A, ignore him, or throw said cup of tea over his lap?
Or boot it at him, because he's just such pinpoint accuracy.
Crosses it in from the corner of the living room. Oh. Straight onto his face.
Straight onto his face. Wow.
Just curls it in.
Crikey.
Anyway, good win for the women, Charles.
Yes, well done, women.
Great win. Great win. Absolutely brilliant. I mean, that's it. That's all we've really got to talk about, unless business.
We need a kebab shop update.
We do need a kebab shop update. Jeffy.
And you might need to explain this, Jeffy, because this originated on the Patreon pod, which not everyone will have access to.
So basically, when I was 11, Sean took me to a kebab shop, which I was absolutely convinced was straight outside Walsall's ground. Well, I'm clearly mistaken, because it was actually straight outside West Brom's ground. But because I was 11, I don't remember this stuff. So anyway, we went in search for said kebab shop, and yes, it is still there.
But it's in West Brom, not.
But it's in West Brom, not in Walsall. So right. I really apologise to the people of Walsall who've been on a wild goose chase trying to locate a kebab shop in Walsall that's in West Brom,
including Tim from One Pod Beyond, who we asked about on the preview show.
Yeah,
and he didn't have a clue what you were talking about. Yeah,
but a core childhood memory was made just in an incorrect place. But obviously, for a hungry child, a kebab was a perfect thing to do. And apparently, according to Sean, and now I know because I've driven there, it's one junction down the motorway and then you can get straight off and it's straight outside the ground and then straight back on the motorway. Because if you don't already know, from Somerset to Walsall, you literally get on the motorway in Somerset and leave the motorway at the Bescot Stadium. So.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
It wasn't very long at all. Literally 2 hours.
That's not bad.
That's less than what it takes to get the Sixfields for us. So, yeah, that's the kebab update. And thank you to all the people that searched for my kebab. Yes, it is orange. I did remember that. And it is still fantastic.
There you go. For more ridiculous kebab shop chat, join us on our weekly Patreon podcast that comes out every single Monday. We're about to go and record it now, aren't we, Danny?
We are.
Look back at the weekend's results in both League Two, and this week it'll be FA Cup, I presume.
FA Cup is the official term, Charles.
Yeah, indeed. So head over to patreon.com/cobblers2me. £2 a month will get you that extra weekly podcast every single week.
I also need to make a public apology to the person that was sat behind my father yesterday because he has an inability to wear a hat. So the person that sat behind Sean all the way through the Walsall game, sorry. And I hope you weren't too disgruntled by the fact that you couldn't see because Sean decided to wear a hat as if he was a garden gnome. So keep up with the old Patreon if you want to hear more garden gnome updates.
You're supposed to be a gnome. I've got some AOB, Charles, quickly.
Oh, go on then.
AOBs, it's like in a meeting at work, when anyone got any OBs, someone puts their hand up. That's what you've just done.
Yeah, and everyone else goes,
put your hand down.
I want my lunch.
Yeah.
Wembers, Charles, remember that? Wembley, 25 years ago.
I do remember Wembley, yeah.
Do you remember Wembley?
25 years ago. It's going to be a special reunion event on the 20th of May.
Ooh. Is there?
Yes.
Oh.
Where members of the 97 squad will be back to look back on that famous day.
That sounds good.
Reunion events this year.
Who do we think is going to come? Do you think Woody's going to come, or is he going to be in the middle of a promotion charge?
Woody always comes.
He might be on a celebration tour from Bromley being promoted.
He'll be there. He'll bring his trophy.
Razor's going to be there.
John Frayne will be there.
Oh, John Frayne will be there, yeah.
Yeah, Samo, obviously.
I think if John Frayne wasn't there, it probably wouldn't be worth doing.
I want Christian Lee to be there.
Hey, part of the squad.
Yeah, yeah,
almost squad. It could have been his name that we've all remembered.
He could have been our first million-pound player.
Instead, what I want to see four years later, it was Charlie.
I want to see members of the current squad walking them out, like one member of the current squad arm in arm with the Wembley
like ball boys.
Yeah, like ball boys. Yeah, just walking out with them. Sam Hoskins next to Big John Gale.
Oh, do you know what? I really want John Gale to just bounce a football off Sam Hoskins' head. Oh, that'd be amazing.
That's when John Gale knew we were going to win.
Mm. He is.
Anyone else?
Was the year after, wasn't it? Yeah. I'd say John Gale wasn't part of that squad, was he?
Yes, he was.
Yeah, he was.
Was he part of the first one?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he scored, didn't he? Away. But that was the second one.
Oh, yeah, he was there. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. Jason White.
White, yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else going to be there by any chance?
We might be there, Charles.
Oh, might we?
I assume so.
Oh, yes.
I want to go.
You assume correctly.
Ian Atkins, he'll be there, won't he? Because he's still around.
He is still around, yeah.
If he can take time out of his sterling work he's doing with the trust. What is?
Okay.
Ian Clarkson, lovely. He'll be there.
Ian Clarkson.
Yeah. Oh. Dean Pier. Dean Pier will be opening his corridor.
Yeah, oh, please.
And Dean Pier will be just chasing a football around, trying to control it.
There'll be a balloon, though, in that 1897 suite.
That's it. Thank you for that reminder, Danny. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting us. Don't forget, Friday, the preview show, Danny and I will be talking to a Port Vale fan.
Yes.
Ahead of Saturday's game. I believe we found one that's a podcaster as well.
Yeah, the great
Ale
name.
Ale
and the Vale podcast.
Love that. That's absolutely brilliant. So, yeah, we'll be back on Friday. Or you can catch up in the Patreon as well with other extra bonus content that you can get. Have a great week. We will see you on Friday.
Whey! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.